Please turn with me in God's Word to the book of Jonah. And we're going to read the latter part of the book, chapters 3 and 4. We're going to dwell tonight on chapter 4, but I'll read chapter 3 as well, as that leads into Jonah's response to what has happened in chapter 4. We will touch on chapter 1 and 2 a little later in the sermon, we all know. About Jonah's disobedience of not wanting to go to Nineveh, and ending up in a storm, being thrown in the sea, swallowed up by a big fish, and then spat into dry land. And then we read in chapter 3 and verse 1, "And the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, 'Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you.' Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animal be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish." When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. But to Jonah this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is why I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I know that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." But the Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head, to ease his discomfort, and Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" "It is," he said, "and I'm so angry I wish I were dead." But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it nor make it grow. It sprang overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" This is the word of God. May he bless it to our hearts and give us understanding. I'd like to really focus on the last part of chapter 4 and verse 2. But Jonah says, "I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity." It's a truth that we, I trust, rejoice in and would say amen to. Let me read it once more, because this is what Jonah knew from the word of God. This is scripture. This is in the word of God, not just in this book, but also in other parts where he recognized that God is a gracious and a compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, abounding in mercy, a God who relents from sending calamity. It is a wonderful truth. And I trust that every true believer here tonight would wholeheartedly agree. You would think that no believer, no true believer could disagree with a truth like that. To be fair on Jonah, he didn't disagree with the truth. He believed it to be true. But on this particular day, he wasn't happy with it. He didn't like this truth to be applied to the Ninevites. And so, rather than a preacher who was rejoicing in the salvation of a large number of people, he was angry with God. The story of Jonah is a well-known one. I'm sure that even most children who go to school, to church regularly, have been to Sunday school, will all know about the big fish, which is, I'm sure, the best known part. We know about that commandment that the Lord gave Jonah in chapter 1 to go to Nineveh, but Jonah didn't want to go. He went to Tarshish instead, running away from God. And then he ended up in this storm. The sailors that he was with were unsure why the storm was there, and Jonah admitted it was because of him and his disobedience. They threw him overboard. The sea was calm. Jonah sunk into the deep, and there he was swallowed by a fish, in which he was 3 days and three nights. And then he was spat onto the dry, and God gives him a second chance and tells him again to go to Nineveh. And then we see that Jonah does go. He obeys. He preaches the word of God that God has given him, a word of warning, to tell the people in Nineveh to repent, otherwise God would destroy the city in 40 days. And then the people do repent. And God sees it. And God saw the repentance was real. And in verse 10 in chapter 3, we read how God relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. I think any preacher after a response like that, missionary or whatever, would write a letter to his prayer supporters and say, some wonderful things have happened. By the grace of God, as I preached the word, thousands of people came to faith in Christ. Praise his name. No such letter came from Jonah. In chapter 4, in the first few verses, we see that to Jonah, this seemed very wrong. And he became angry. And he prayed to the Lord. Just take this in. This is Jonah's prayer. Isn't this what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was trying to forestall. That's why I disobeyed. That's why I flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. This is what I was afraid of that would happen. And it did. And I'm not a happy man. Jonah was incredibly angry. What can we learn from this passage? What is the message of the book of Jonah? And I would argue tonight that there are two things to learn. Firstly, that God is indeed a gracious and compassionate God. That is very clear from the word, and that is the important truth. But secondly, that it is possible for a believer to believe and accept that wonderful truth and yet be totally out of step with the heart of that God. We will start with the second one, and then we will later on look at the fact that God is indeed a gracious and compassionate God. But firstly, how Jonah was out of step with God, we just want to see how that is, and we want to see how Jonah lacked compassion. While God is a compassionate God, Jonah was nothing that he knew God was. God is gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, abounding in mercy, a God who relents from sin and calamity. Well, Jonah was none of those things. He was totally out of step with his God. It's only in chapter 4 that we truly understand why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh in the first place. Why he went to the town of Joppa, where he found a ship bound for Tarshish and sailed as far away from God's task as possible. He didn't want to go to Nineveh and preach against it. For some reason, Jonah didn't want to go there. I believe his first reason was not that he was afraid. It was a fearful city, we take that. This was a Gentile city. The Assyrians had been a very wicked nation. I'm sure that all the nations without God are evil in a sense. But there are those nations, of course, who are extra wicked, as it were, where evil seems to control everything. Sometimes in God's common grace, he limits the evil, even of godless nations. But in Assyria, things had gone very severe, and especially towards the Jews, the Assyrians had been most awful. All the nations as well, but they were certainly the arch enemies of God's people. So Jonah would have had plenty of reasons to be afraid of them, but that was not his first reason. His fear, we learn from the Word of God, is that the people would listen to his preaching. There are not many preachers who preach with that fear in mind. It's most amazing. He was concerned that the people would hear about the judgment of God and would be afraid of it. And might be sorry for their wickedness. And he knew that as soon as the people would show what I would describe as a flicker of repentance, that is Jonah's sort of cynical approach, God would forgive them. He just knew that you know, God just forgives people, you know, there is just some repentance, and God is just so quick to forgive. Now, I overstated that, because that is, I believe, what was in Jonah's mind. But he certainly knew that God would rather forgive than condemn. Jesus came into the world rather to save than to condemn people. That is God's heart. That is his mission. That is why God, before the creation of the world, he already planned the cross. Because our God is first and foremost not a condemning God, but a saving God. And Jonah knew that. And he didn't want that to be true for the Assyrians, because he didn't like those people, the enemies of God. He wanted them to get what they deserved. He wanted them to be condemned, to be punished, to be destroyed. He wasn't unhappy with the message he had to preach, but he was fearful of repentance and God's forgiveness. And it happened as he feared. He preached, the people repented, God forgave, and Jonah was angry. What does he do? Well, he just leaves the city. He builds himself a shelter. And it actually says, and I think this is a most shocking verse, verse 5 in chapter 4, where it says, Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Just take this in. Jonah makes himself as comfortable as possible and see what would happen to the city. Is it not strange to interpret this as that he's somehow hoping that the repentance wasn't real? That there might still be a scene of destruction in front of his eyes so he can get home, go home at rest, that these people have been destroyed? Is he there sitting because he's waiting for judgment? The Lord decided to teach his servant a lesson. And he provided three things. In chapter 1, he provided a storm and a fish. And God continues to work for his servant and in his servant and through his servant and show him things as well. And so he provided first a vine, it says in the older translation. It's a leafy plant, a plant that provides a lot of wonderful shelter. And in that very hot climate, that is a wonderful thing to experience. Maria and I, every March, we go to Australia to see our son and his wife and our four grandchildren there. And obviously we couldn't go this year. I'll see what the Australians decide to do next year. But it's a very hot country, and we like the warm weather. March is a good time because there are the moderate temperatures of about 30, 35 degrees, which are just about bearable to still to do things. But we went there one Christmas, and it was 46 degrees. And that was a very strange and uncomfortable experience. And so it says that Jonah was very happy about the plant. And I can imagine you being happy about a shelter. In the context, though, that he was happy with the plant while a city was in danger of perishing makes it a very difficult thing to consider. Jonah was very happy about the plant. And so the next morning, the Lord provided a worm so that Jonah lost his nice, shady spot. And then God provided a scorching east wind, a wind from overland, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. And he simply wanted to die. Already wanted to die at the beginning of the chapter because of God's salvation. And now, you know, he couldn't even find shelter for himself. Life had become too difficult to bear, and he wanted to die. This is shocking, isn't it? When I was talking to a group recently, in a home group, and we just for some reason looked at this as well, and I called it shocking, and someone said, well, you know, we just have to accept that we're all sinners, and, you know, we could all be like that. And I say, well, I know that by the grace of God, we can all commit the worst of sins, but let's still be horrified at sin. We must still, when we see sin in us and in others, we must be horrified at it, always humbly, because we know we fall short ourselves, but never speak about sin as if it, well, it's just one of those things. This is something which is shocking. Here is a servant of God who is happy when he sits in comfort, while he doesn't care whether people live or die, whether people are lost or saved, and the people are on their way to heaven or hell. Jonah was actually more concerned about his own comfort than about the salvation of lost sinners. Jonah believed in God and yet was totally out of step with him. Now I know that you and I are not like Jonah in every sense of the word. And yet I'm convinced that a person can be a believer and yet at times be more concerned about his or her own comfort than about the salvation of sinners. I've been humbled in the last few years when we started supporting a young couple that does missionary work somewhere in North Africa. They don't share the country in their prayer letters because it's a dangerous place to work in. But what strikes me in this couple is that for them, every day is another opportunity to reach out with the gospel. They teach English and seek to talk about the Lord. They have coffee with their neighbors and talk about the Lord. They do cooking sessions and they talk about the Lord. And they text us about these events and tell us that so and so has not responded. Please pray. Or so and so seems to be very, very close, and it seems to be that their whole life is taken up with seeing people saved. Now I know that missionaries, as we were talking this morning, Malcolm and I, missionaries have a very special calling, and it's a very special ministry, and God equips them in a very special way. Yet at the same time, I just wish that I had 25% of their passion. And I must repent before God and say, Lord, how is it that I don't have that passion and that desire and that focus every day of my life to see people saved? And why is it that many a day it seems to be that I'm more concerned about my own comfort than about the salvation of souls? And so the question is that I want to ask you, do you care? Do I care? Do we pray as people who care? Do we give as people who care? Do we live as people who care about people who do not know the Lord? Or are we perhaps too taken up with ourselves and our own comfort that we don't have time or energy to reach out to those who are lost? Jonah lacked compassion and was out of step with God, and we need to ask ourselves the question, are we? And then the second point we want to dwell on is that God has a heart that is full of loving concern for sinners. We agree that all scripture is inspired by God, but I hope you don't mind me saying that there are passages and verses in the Bible that seem to be extra special, especially those statements that allow us to have a closer look into the mind and heart of God. Jonah 4, verse 11 is one of those verses, where God, after God telling Jonah that he was concerned about his plant, it wasn't even his plant, he didn't make it grow, he didn't tend it, it was there one day and gone the next. And then he says in verse 11, this is God speaking, he said, and should I not be concerned for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? God saying there, I'm concerned for the city of Nineveh. I'm concerned for this world, for God so loved the world that he sent his Son. And Jesus, after the resurrection, he sent his disciples out into the world to make disciples of all the nations. Our God is passionately concerned about the salvation of sinners. While Jonah was angry about the salvation of the Ninevites, Ninevites and full of self-pity because of his place in the shade, God gives us a look into his own heart. Should I not be concerned about these people in this city, this great city of Nineveh? You know and I know, but let us rejoice afresh that our God is a God who is full of grace and compassion. Our God is a God who is slow to anger and abounding in mercy. If you could have another glimpse of the truth of that, of this gracious, compassionate and merciful God, it is a most amazing sight. There's nothing more beautiful in this universe than to look at the grace and the mercy and the love of our God. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd, and his heart went out to these people. When the disciples saw a multitude, they told the Savior to send them away so they can buy their own food. But Jesus said, no, this is not how it works. He said, you give them to eat. You are here to reach out to them. And although Jesus did the miracle, the feeding of the 5,000, the disciples went out to hand out the bread. Jesus wants to use his servants, his people, to reach out with his gospel to the people around. God wants to see people come to faith because our God is a saving God. God has a heart that is full of loving concern for sinners. And we should praise God that this is true, that this is what he is like. Jonah had so many reasons to be thankful to God. God called Jonah to serve him. What a privilege that was. And when Jonah blatantly refused, God worked hard to redirect him. He didn't sack him. He didn't send him away and say, well, no more missionary work for you. He sent a storm, a large fish, and then God gave Jonah a second chance. He didn't mention the things that happened before. He just sends him out again. And although Jonah obeyed, his heart wasn't right, as we see in chapter 4. So God sent a plant, a worm, a wind to show Jonah what is really important. And when Jonah was angry with God and we are horrified at what we see, we still see God being gracious, gently rebuking his servant. What a gracious God he is. And to just side with Jonah, the people of Nineveh were awful. They were a wicked people. They had done so much wrong. But these people were very thankful as well that our God is a gracious God. And when they repented of their sins, God was so quick to forgive. Because God loves to save. And you and I, we have many reasons to be thankful too, don't we? Think about the width, length, height and depth of the love of Jesus, who was willing to die on that cross and bear our sins and endure the wrath of God. And God was willing for his son to be there. God had to turn away in wrath and anger. And Jesus paid the price in full. And the Holy Spirit convicted us of our sin and showed us this wonderful plan of salvation and drew us into this plan of salvation, drew us to the heart of God. And if you have been walking with the Lord for a number of years, think of his faithfulness and his mercy, his promises. Think of eternity that is still to come. The best is still to come for the believer. And all this is given to us because of God's grace. Jesus was willing to be obedient unto death in order to save us from our sins. God has a heart that is full of loving concern for sinners, and we should say, thank God for that. How wonderful, how glorious. Well, we must close by just asking a question that I can't answer. Did Jonah learn the lesson? I personally like to think he did, because he is, I believe, the one who penned his book. He wrote the account, and he's come to understanding. But the book ends with a question mark. It's God's question mark about God's concern. Of course, we can say, well, of course God is concerned. But it doesn't say whether Jonah changed his heart or not. I like to think he did, and that I will see him in glory. But the more important question tonight is, have I learned the lesson? Have you? You may agree with me. My answer to the question is probably yes and no. In other words, the learning process is ongoing. Yes, I am learning. And yes, I want to be passionate, as passionate as that missionary couple in North Africa. I want to be reflect something of the heart of God in reaching out to those around me. But sometimes that is three steps forward and two steps back, and the other way around. There are days where I'm more concerned about my comfort, and I have to go back to the cross and say, Lord, just make me understand it. Help me to take it in. May this verse grab us afresh when Jesus says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Believers are followers of Christ, and our desire should be the same. May the Lord help us. Amen.